Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Did Brigham Young go through a miracle of transfiguration? Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. Now, we know from a lot of news articles that have been circulating recently that the Mormon Church is having a very difficult time with its membership. A lot of people are leaving the Mormon Church, and as you've heard us say many times in this broadcast, we feel it's because of the free flow of information that cannot be suppressed any longer by the leaders in the Mormon Church. The internet has made that impossible. So when we hear of average members leaving the Mormon Church, to many that might not be big news, because religion has kind of taken a hit everywhere throughout the world. But it is particular when it comes to Mormonism, especially when you find that an educator within the Mormon Church eventually leaves the Mormon Church for doctrinal reasons. There was an article that was on the Approaching Justice website. Now, to give you an understanding of where we're going with this, on its website it says, Approaching Justice is an online magazine about religion, politics, philosophy, and culture. The editor of Approaching Justice is a guy by the name of Chris Hendrickson. Chris is a political philosopher and a practicing Mormon. He has taught political science and philosophy at Brigham Young University. That would be in Provo, Utah, Brigham Young University, Idaho, which is in Rexburg, Idaho, and Utah Valley University, as well as Casper College. He has a BA and an MA in political science from the University of Utah and currently is working on a doctorate, also in political science, at Idaho State University. It also says in this brief introduction to the website that Chris is a practicing Democrat, which might strike a lot of you as being very odd, but yeah, there are Democrat Mormons out there. They're certainly, they don't number as many as the Republican Mormons, but they are there.
Well, I even think there's a famous senator from Nevada who is belonging to the LDS Church.
The controversial Harry Reid, which if you ever listen to some of the things that Harry Reid even says about fellow Mormons, he doesn't seem to like anybody, you know, calls fellow Mormons domestic terrorists and lies about Mitt Romney and his money situation and things like that. But that's to the side here. The reason why this caught our interest is that Chris Hendrickson wrote an article talking about a Mormon studies professor, a guy by the name of Kirk Caudill, I think is how he pronounces his name, and how Kirk has left the Mormon Church. And we want to talk about that a little bit, because we do think that this is noteworthy. But this is what Mr. Hendrickson says in the article, BYU Idaho Religion Instructor Leaves Church. It came out on August 5th, 2014.
It says this, Mormon studies scholar Kirk Caudill started the summer as an active member of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints and as a religion instructor at Brigham Young University, Idaho. Last week, that all changed as Caudill resigned from the church. I was shocked to hear of this news. This past spring, Kirk was my roommate at the Mormon Scholars in the Humanities Conference. In our conversation together at the conference, Caudill was very open about his devotion to the Book of Mormon as inspired scripture and his admiration for the prophet Joseph Smith. The thing is, none of that has changed.
And so he goes on to relate this story of how Kirk Caudill came to leave the Mormon Church. But from what we gather, he still has, as we've already pointed out, this devotion to the Book of Mormon and also an admiration for Joseph Smith. Now, Mr. Hendrickson has an interview with Mr. Caudill, and Mr. Caudill tells Mr. Hendrickson that he believes in the Book of Mormon and Joseph Smith. So you would say, well, what's the problem? What's the problem here? Why, you know, then why would he leave? But he gives an interesting definition of what he means by having this kind of faith in the Book of Mormon.
He says, I have had interactions both from study and prayer where the Holy Ghost has moved upon me in relation to the Book of Mormon. And then he goes on to explain that his relationship with the Book of Mormon was more Mormon than academic. It's a relationship of faith, one of which he said was even irrational from a philosophical or academic perspective. However, it is a spiritual relationship that he continues to have.
Now, what do you think that means to us? How would we interpret something like that? Because I'm sure some people listening to that are scratching their head going, what? What does that mean?
Well, when you take philosophy and when you take logic and put it all together, Mormonism really doesn't come together.
The Book of Mormon doesn't really have any true historical value, I would say, because there really is no strong evidence that Nephites ever existed or anything like that.
But if you pray about the Book of Mormon and you receive a testimony that the book is true, it bypasses all of that. And in fact, it becomes most predominant in your life that you know that's true, regardless of what the evidence might say that seems to contradict your viewpoint.
And we've had many Mormons basically tell us that. I don't care if there's no historical evidence to show that Nephites ever existed. I don't really even care where they lived. All that matters to me is that the Holy Ghost told me that this was a true record. And of course, our response to that kind of a testimony is, well, how do you really know it's the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit? See, that would be a difficulty for us as Christians, because we would not believe that the Holy Spirit would testify to the truthfulness of something that the facts tend to disprove. That doesn't make a lot of sense to us. The Holy Spirit is supposed to be the comforter that bears witness to truth, not to error. So we would have a difficulty with that.
Well, here's the problem with Mr. Cottle's viewpoint, because he has a spiritual relationship, but he does not hold to the current leadership as having the keys of Joseph, so to speak. Because this is what he said, I really have a great love and testimony of Joseph. And it goes on and says that testimony does not extend to Brigham Young and by extension to the current LDS leadership. Those are blasphemous words according to Salt Lake City.
Yeah, although I would think that a lot of Mormons probably secretly have a lot of problems with some of the things that Brigham Young did and said, but at least Mr. Cottle's being openly honest. And of course, sometimes being openly honest about what you think can get you in trouble in the Mormon church. Anyway, Mr. Cottle was involved in online courses at BYU, and as this article points out, online courses at BYU-Idaho, this would be Rexburg, as the article says, for the most part come as a ready-to-go product that is completely created and designed well before the instructors are involved with them. The instructors mostly grade assignments and respond to students' messages and emails as needed. Does that strike you as odd, Eric? You've been an educator in the college arena.
Yeah, you're usually given an outline of what you're supposed to teach. You need to hit these certain areas, but how you teach is usually left up, at least in, well, I would say the secular realm, and I've even taught in the Christian realm, you're given much freedom to be able to do it as long as you stay within boundaries.
Well, even though those boundaries were given to the online instructors, Cottle, it says, went above and beyond by creating and sharing videos containing mini lectures related to the course topic. He also held a virtual hour-long office hour where he would answer questions from students and have discussions based on questions and topics raised in online discussions during the previous week.
Now, I've taught online before, and for him to offer an hour, and I'm guessing probably every week he's doing this, that's quite a sacrifice. So you have to think that he really did want the best for his students, regardless of how the Mormon church might think he taught or didn't think that he covered the things that he was supposed to cover.
Well, Mr. Henderson goes on in his piece. He says that Cottle had done many of these sessions without any complaints. They were voluntary sessions. Students could join if they were interested in additional discussion and interaction. But then he goes on to say that during one particular session that touched on the succession of church leadership from Joseph Smith to Brigham Young, 30 students joined the session.
Now, they mentioned 30 students. That might be because maybe that was a higher number than he was normally used to getting. And maybe they kind of knew that there might be a little controversy associated. I'm just guessing at this. Maybe he had led on earlier that he might have had some problems with some of the current leadership going back to Brigham Young.
Well, it goes on to say that during the discussion, Caudle mentioned that the account of Brigham Young being transfigured to appear like Joseph Smith is not, quote unquote, entirely historical. And that, I think, is going to be the genesis of what really gets him in trouble. Because when you make statements like that, when you go against the grain and you start to teach a view of Mormon history that is not considered faith promoting, you run the danger in Mormon circles of getting in trouble for this, because faith promoting history is very essential for many Latter-day Saints in order to keep them involved in the Mormon church.
It just takes one student, and apparently that's what happened. One student who complains to some local leaders about that session, and according to Caudle, that was the only complaint that he's ever had. But that one complaint, as you're saying, was a major one, because you're throwing in doubt the leadership of the church.
Well, when you look at this transfiguration of Brigham Young, and we do want to talk about that more in tomorrow's show, of course, a lot of Mormons, if they even are familiar with that story, would probably look at that story as a miraculous sign from on high that Brigham Young was indeed the one who was chosen by God to lead the Latter-day Saints after the martyrdom, the assassination, if you will, of Joseph Smith at Carthage Jail. Remember, Joseph Smith, I don't think, had a clue that he was going to die at the age of 38. In fact, he even gave a prophecy saying that the Lord wasn't going to return until he turned 80, which makes you wonder now if he's even coming back at all, if that's a true prophecy. But nonetheless, he did not have a game plan as to who was going to succeed him should he die. And so the young church was put in a state of confusion as to who is going to take over as the next prophet, seer, and revelator. And there's this story of this alleged competition, if you will, between Sidney Rigdon, who had been a part of the Mormon movement really ever since its virtual beginnings, and Brigham Young. According to the story, Brigham Young wins out. And tomorrow we're going to look at how that story plays out in Mormon history, or as what we would say, Mormon folklore, and why Mr. Kirk Caudle would make the statement that he made.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. Would you like to know more about the Mormon religion while learning how to share your Christian faith? On Saturday, September 13th from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m., MRM's Bill McKeever and Eric Johnson will be delivering their Compassionate Boldness Symposium Part 2 in Provo, Utah. This free PowerPoint presentation includes a discussion on the role of Mormon prophets, the Book of Abraham, the LDS Doctrine of Eternal Progression, and what Mormon leaders have taught regarding exaltation and godhood. Now, while it is part two, you don't need to have attended the first part. It all takes place on September 13th at In Life Church, located at 100 North and 700 West in Provo. A question and answer session will follow. If you'd like more information, please go to mrm.org and click on the link that says calendar at the upper left side of the homepage. As always, we truly hope to see you there.